Welcome to Connected, the podcast from the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. This time, our guest isn't a business executive or diplomat, but a young graduate student with a story that's just as inspiring. His connection with Rwanda started here in Washington, where he crossed paths with the embassy at one of our events. That first encounter led to more conversations, and before long, his very first trip to Rwanda. But the story didn't stop there. What began as a single visit grew into something deeper. He returned to Rwanda again, this time not alone, but with someone he wanted to share the experience with. In our conversation, he takes us through those journeys, what he saw, what surprised him, and how those trips reshaped the way he sees the world and his own path forward. We even got a peek inside his apartment, where he showed us souvenirs and stories he brought back, pieces of Rwanda that now live with him here in the U.S. Please join me in welcoming Nikhil Nelson to the podcast. Nikhil, we're glad to have you with us today. I hope I phrased your introduction well.
Thank you. It's great to be back talking to you. I'm happy to get started. Like you said, I just graduated at Georgetown University. I'm here now studying in Madrid, and I had a really extraordinary experience in Rwanda, and I'm excited to share it.
So, Nick, take us back to the beginning. How did Rwanda first come to mind as a place you wanted to visit?
Sure. So I came into Georgetown as a student interested in business, and I minored in environmental studies. So that's also a strong interest of mine. I always enjoyed travel and learning about the world. And I had attended an event hosted by the Smithsonians, I think, where the embassies all brought food and cultural artifacts from their countries to this event, and where I met you and the delegation from Rwanda and got to talking and was shared some information about the country. I was honored to attend an event at the embassy, the screening of a film, and eventually, we had, through some conversations, figured out that Rwanda might be a good place for me to explore, both some of my interests in seeing the world and traveling, but also even more importantly in business and getting some experience that aligned well with my studies for a summer internship. And throughout the rest of the year, we were able to find a company there and a situation that worked out for me to go there for the summer and to work there. And that's sort of how things got kicked off. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, that's a very interesting, and thank you so much for sharing. So, Nick, everyone has an assumption of a place before they actually go. What was you as about one?
Sure. So I think, I consider myself a fairly well-educated, aware person, and still I was quite uninformed or underinformed about Rwanda. I had known the country mostly because of Diane Fossey and the guerrillas and because of its history. And so I think, like a lot of Americans and a lot of Westerners, there was a lot of information missing, a lot of updates about the country of Rwanda and how it's developed in the past 30 years and what's going on there now. And so, through organizing my internship there and certainly through visiting there, I received a lot of that information and had a lot of my preconceived notions about the country sort of changed. And you can imagine when I told my 50-year-old parents, hey guys, I'm going to do my internship in Rwanda this summer. We had some conversations about, hey, here's what the country's like, here's what's happening there. And I think they also, and a lot of my friends who got to hear about my experience there, got to have some of their notions about Rwanda and frankly about Africa challenged through learning more and having their information updated.
So when you landed in Rwanda, what was your plan? Which places did you decide to see and what drew you to those places?
Yeah, so during my trip in Rwanda, and I think it's a good itinerary for people to consider if they're looking to see many different parts of the country in one trip, is I went first to Lake Kivu to do two different places, one smaller town called Kinunu, which was very isolated, very quiet, really scenic. And then up north towards a town called Gisenyi, which is on the north shores of the lake, just on the border. And then from there, I went for 2 days to Musanze to do some hiking in the park and also visit the Diane Fossey Museum in the Volcanoes National Park.
Wait a bit. Before you go on, for those listening who haven't been to Rwanda before, could you paint a picture of those places?
Sure. So a lot of Rwanda is kind of warm and sunny and hilly, including Kigali and including the parts of the lake which feel more tropical. And Musanze is at a higher altitude and it's in the mountains. And so it's a very different climate and a very different feel. It's often a bit cooler. It's misty. It's very beautiful. And on the horizon, you constantly have the Volcanoes National Park, which is a series of mountains, volcanoes, really, some of which are active on the Virunga Massif, which is a part of the Great Rift Valley in Africa. And these mountains make up the national park, which is shared between Congo, Rwanda, and Uganda. And it's where the mountain gorillas live as well, in addition to other animals like the golden monkeys and the buffalo and things like that, which are all attractions, in addition to just hiking up these volcanoes. And it's really visually stunning place to be. The mountains always in the background and always there is just a really extraordinary backdrop. And when you're in the forest as well, it's really lush, it's really green. It's full of plants and animals. It's extraordinarily well preserved, similar to the way that you would expect a national park in the United States to be, free of trash and free of litter and, you know, good infrastructure surrounding the tourism there. It's a very it's very well done experience for tourists, and it's just a very scenic place and a very unique place, I think, to be, both in terms of the animals that you can see there and just in terms of the scenery.
Oh, wow. That sounds like quite the challenge. And as you're talking, I can actually see things around your apartment. They look very, maybe, Rwanda. Did you also manage to bring back some souvenirs from the trip?
Yeah, so the first time I went, I brought back a lot of coffee and some Rwandan baskets as well, which are these really beautiful woven bowls and baskets. Very colorful and like they come in many different patterns. And of course, the next time I went, people in my family and friends had gotten wind of the fact that I brought back coffee and all these other cool things last time I went there. And so many of them, my sister, for example, requested, bring me this, bring me that. And so this time my suitcase was just full of bowls and baskets and gorilla carvings and coffee and all sorts of other souvenirs for my friends who and family who had heard about Rwanda and, you know, wanted some interesting things from there. And also for me, because I prefer to drink the coffee from Rwanda than the one here in Madrid.
I cannot try see more.
Sure. I have some in my room. I have Rwandan baskets in my entryway where I keep my coins and sunglasses and house keys here in the entryway to my apartment. So the baskets here, these are a very small version of the Rwandan baskets. These ones are holding coins and keys and other things. They're quite useful. And I was also saying that I have a larger one on my bedside table next to my bed where I put, you know, where I put my phone and chapstick and things like that. And on my kitchen counter here, I have one which holds my wallet and phone charger and other sort of random accessories. And the best of all is the coffee here from Rwanda that I have, which I use every morning. And even more than that, this is to send to my parents. More coffee and coasters and souvenirs because everyone wants a piece. Yeah, so good memories. Rwanda's always in my home here.
Nice. Thank you so much. It sounds like a trip you will never forget. And you're right, people really like many Rwanda products. I also like them. This shirt I'm wearing is made in Rwanda. And people here have it.
Of course. I have one from last time already. Unfortunately, I don't have it here with me in Madrid. But so that's one of my favorite souvenirs. Very nice, kind of colorful and often hand-tailored, you know, sort of custom-made shirts with traditional Rwandan patterns. You know, many people wear them to work, to special occasions, to dress up, you know, for traditional ceremonies or dances as well. But the one I have is actually, it's quite simple. It's a blue shirt with black and white patterning on it, and it could really be worn like in the office or to a special occasion. And you can go to markets like Kimironko and Kigali and get handmade dresses, shirts, bags, all sorts of things like that as a more customized souvenir.
So, okay, great. So every trip comes with a few surprises, Nick. Did you experience any culture shock in Rwanda? And how about safety? How did you feel moving around?
Sure. You know, I think one thing, just having traveled a lot and just even living in the U.S. and living in other big cities, is that from a safety perspective, you know, I always really look out for myself. I tend to be kind of cautious, especially in new places. And during the duration of my time in Rwanda, I really learned that Kigali is a extraordinarily safe place to be in general, and particularly for a city. I can't think of any other big cities or country capitals in the world where, you know, a stranger, a foreigner, can walk around in any neighborhood at 2 a.m. and not have to worry about their stuff, about their safety, about their security. And so that was one thing that I was really impressed by. And just like from my mindset about having traveled to other places, many of which are more dangerous, I had to adjust, you know, like my level of worry. And the other thing, there are other small things. You know, I got used to the fact that in Rwanda, it's not considered impolite to stare at people. In the U.S., it's considered very impolite to look directly at people, to stare at people. And I remember, especially, you know, already being a white guy in a suit and tie going to work every day in a very residential neighborhood, you know, I stick out a lot. And I did learn that people are staring because they're curious and they're interested, not because something's wrong. But those are the little kind of fun, interesting differences, I think, that you sort of learn about. You know, here are the ways that culture is very similar in Rwanda, very different from back home. And that was a funny one that stuck with me.
So from your story, it's clear this trip made a strong impact. How would you say it challenged your thinking and changed your perspective?
Yeah, so I think the way in which my mindset kind of changed and the way I was affected upon returning to the U.S., you know, I think firstly on a personal level, it kind of taught me to challenge my own assumptions about places. And I think in my travels and in my work and study experience abroad, and even in the U.S. since being in Rwanda, I've been, you know, much more open-minded and much more open to having my notions or the things that are taught to us about different places by our socialization, by our media here, just to interrogate those things and learn more. So that's one thing. And I think on a, you know, interpersonal level, I really do enjoy telling my friends, telling my family about Rwanda. I become a big advocate for visiting the country for tourism, for work, for any reason. I think it's a really unique place to go, and it's part of why I've now gone back a second time. I think on a broader level, I'm also just become more of an advocate for people to challenge themselves and challenge their assumptions, you know, whether it's about Rwanda or about a different endeavor or place in life. Then I think it's an important thing to do.
So the second time we went back to Rwanda, you didn't go alone. You brought her with you. Were you trying to impress her with Rwanda, or did actually Rwanda do all the impressing on its own?
I was certainly trying to design a trip that would be, you know, many things in one, you know, natural beauty, again, like safety, security, ease of travel. Those are all very logistically important things, you know, for any trip, and especially for someone who's, you know, coming to Africa for the first time. And so that made Rwanda an attractive destination, you know, somewhere where you can walk around and go out to dinner at night in Kigali and not worry about your safety, somewhere where you can get a car or a motorcycle taxi during the day, during the night in any town and not have to worry. So that was absolutely attractive about it. We went to Volcanoes National Park, which of course is beautiful. We went to Akagera, which of course was naturally beautiful. We spent some days in Kigali as well, where we had some more sort of cultural, more sort of human-focused experiences, I think. Visiting the Women's Center in Yaminambo, visiting the Genocide Museum. And so I think in many ways, Rwanda has a very well-rounded array of things to offer for travelers. And I think it ended up being a really solid trip, especially for someone coming for the first time. And I did think, I'd like to think that you know, my friend was impressed because of me, but I think Rwanda did some of the lifting as well.
Was she impressed?
She was. I think it was a very good impression, actually. I mean, so I know very much what it's like to go somewhere, you know, the first time, to go to Africa for the first time, and I was going to Rwanda. It was, you know, one of my first trips alone, and so that was a new experience. And she had a similar sort of adjustment and getting accustomed to things there. But I think it was absolutely successful. And you know, she's now friends with some of my friends who are there, and she's talking about sending packages back to people she met there. You know, you're and so. Yeah, it was absolutely a positive experience. And I know that in a similar way that I was after I visited, I think she'll be telling her friends and her family and people like that all about Rwanda. Because I think, you know, similarly, you know, she was telling me when she told her parents that she was going there, when she told her friends, they said, oh my God, you're going to Rwanda. Is it safe? You know, what's going on there? What are you doing? What are you thinking about? Like, you know, just go to Greece or Mexico or something. And so I think when you have a positive experience and you go somewhere and you bring that back, you help educate other people also about their maybe misconceptions about a place. And that's been really valuable. My next goal is to get my parents to visit Rwanda, and they very much want to now, having seen my experience. And I think that's a really good example of the power of just word of mouth and experience.
Wow, it's been wonderful hearing about your experiences in Rwanda, Nikhil. But before we conclude, do you have any final thoughts or reflections for our audience?
I would say absolutely go visit Rwanda. You'll love it. You can call me if you don't like it and complain, and you can hold me personally responsible. But really, seriously, Rwanda is really incredible. Like I said, it's a great place. If you've never been to Africa before, if you have, it's a great destination. You'll get to see culture, you get to see history, you'll get to see beautiful nature, you know, lakes, mountains, rivers, grasslands. I mean, really everything, all in one trip and all in one country. And the safety and the security there really can't be overstated. I mean, I joke with my friends that, you know, when I'm coming back to Madrid after Rwanda, coming back to DC after Rwanda, I'm returning to somewhere more dangerous than where I was, which is the irony, really, because most people assume the opposite when you tell them that you're, you know, flying to the middle of Africa for vacation.
Thank you so much, mate. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Connected, the podcast from the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. A special thanks to our guest, Nikhil Nelson, for sharing his reflections and experiences with us today. His insights remind us of the many ways Rwanda and the United States remain connected through ideas, people, and opportunities. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. To hear more stories like this, be sure to follow Connected on your favorite podcast platform and share it with a friend or colleague. Let's stay connected.